Well, here we are. It's Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning, and I'm so glad that you're joining with us. It's a different kind of a Resurrection Sunday than I can ever remember in my lifetime anyhow, and I assume probably in yours as well. I don't know when you're watching this time of day. You may be choosing. I know a number of people are watching it at our normal church time, but if it's the morning especially, look around the room. I bet I'm the best dressed one in the room right now. Because we're in this strange place, aren't we? It's hard not being together. And especially on a day like Resurrection Sunday morning, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're watching, and know that while you're watching this, there's other parts of the body of Christian Assembly who are watching it as well. Here's the encouragement for today. We're still the church. We're still the church. We're in this strange time, but we're still the church. We can still unite our faith and our prayers, even though we're not physically gathered in the same place. We can still bless each other in the name of the Lord. We can still serve each other. Now, it may take a little more creativity, but we're still free to send an email, make a phone call, send somebody a text. When people come to your mind, don't just say, I wonder how they're doing. Get in touch with them and encourage each other, and let's the body be the body. Let's act as the body of Christ and support and encourage one another as best we can. But know this, even though the world has changed, your world has changed, you feel restricted, we're separated from one another. Maybe you're in a position where suddenly you find yourself unemployed or furloughed. Maybe you're in a place that you just didn't anticipate or expect. None of us really saw this coming. Think of this. Jesus' disciples were in that same situation. I think we're sharing a lot of the feelings that they had during that time. It was suddenly that this whole thing transpired that ended up at the crucifixion and the burial of their Messiah. It happened suddenly. If you remember, rewind the clock just a few short days, and people were shouting his praise. And those same people, a few days later, were screaming, crucify him, crucify him. Their entire horizon changed. Their whole world shifted. It went from an ordered and planned setting to chaos and fear. Once they thought the future was bright and everything was in their favor, and then suddenly it seemed and felt very dark and very helpless. They were separated. They were scattered. They were fearful. They were anxious. Their world was upside down. They were in fear for their own lives, and it took them totally by surprise. And all the news that was coming to them was bad news. They felt trapped. The tomorrow was very uncertain for them. And they were shocked that they were in the place that they were in. Jesus had been arrested. He was rushed through mock trials, one after another. Ultimately, he was convicted, sentenced to death, crucified, buried. That's where the disciples were. Life will never be the same again. But there's something they didn't know. Even in the midst of that dark time, even when they felt so insecure in life, what they didn't understand is there was something working underground, something unknown to them. See, Jesus always has a better plan in mind. Even when we can't see it, our God always has a better plan that he's working. And sometimes he does the underground work first. So early on Sunday morning, at the break of day, with nobody around, when everybody thought and was convinced it was all over, the earth rumbled, and the seal on the tomb was broken, and the stone moved, and the guards were petrified, and out from the darkness of the grave walks out the resurrected Savior of the world. I am the living one who was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. That's our Lord. And that's our Savior. Listen, no matter how life may look and feel at any given moment, no matter what the news report may be, no matter how trapped or helpless you may feel, no matter how dark things may feel or seem in the moment. Know this, nothing can stop the power of the resurrection from bursting forth in your life. Nothing can stop the power of the resurrection. Nothing can keep his glory and his grace from reaching you right where you are. You can take him off the cross. You can wrap him in grave clothes. You can put him in a tomb. You can roll a huge stone in front of it. And you can seal that stone and you can put a Roman guard in front of it. But don't forget, you're talking about the word that was made flesh. You're talking about the word that said, no one takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down and I have the power to raise it up again. You can't stop the power of the resurrection. Pilate washed his hands of the whole matter. Government can't stop the power of the resurrection. The Jewish leaders felt justified in what they did. Religion can't stop the power of the resurrection. The crowd went home satisfied and content. The culture can't stop the power of the resurrection. Listen, the devils and his demons celebrated as at their supposed victory, but even hell can't stop the power of the resurrection. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. It's the reason he came, to give us life, his life, resurrected life. That means if you're a Christian today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're following after him, resurrection power lives in you today. And even COVID-19 can't stop the power of the resurrection from raising you up, from energizing you, from keeping and protecting and saving you. Some are thinking at this point in time, but I don't feel very powerful. And that's honest. Thank you. Thanks for being honest. It's hard to feel powerful when we're all hiding in our homes away from each other from a virus we can't see. It's hard to feel powerful when we're shopping in grocery stores with masks on, or that we can't and won't touch anything without spraying it with disinfectant first. It's hard to feel powerful when you can't even itch your nose without washing your hands first. See, the quarantine, if it's done anything, it's reminded us of how not in control we are, of how fragile life really is, of how quickly things can change. You know, no matter how progressive, how sophisticated, how technologically advanced that we claim to be, we're realizing it can all go away in a heartbeat. It can all change overnight. And there's nothing worse in life than feeling powerless. The inability to change our situation and our circumstance, to find ourselves in a place where those things that we usually count on to help us during those difficult times or to be sources of power, we're finding them to be insufficient. Government doesn't have answers. They're doing their best. Science and medicine are scurrying around, and by God's grace, he'll give them wisdom they need to help bring this to a conclusion and come up with some kind of a medical solution. But at this moment in time, it doesn't exist. The finances, and everyone's aware of what's happening to the economy and to the stock market and all that goes along with it. In all honesty, Easter couldn't have come at a better time. Easter couldn't have come at a better time. We all feel powerless at times, and this time especially is making us realize that even our best isn't good enough. We run into those times in life, even in our personal lives, where our best just isn't good enough. But you know what? That's often the first step towards getting better. Embracing the reality that in ourselves, we can't handle everything in life. That in our own strength and power and abilities, we're deficient. We can't handle, we have limitations, that our best often isn't good enough for the challenges that we're facing. But also know that even when your best doesn't seem good enough, you're not powerless. You're not powerless. You're never without strength to endure and to stand your ground. That's what the resurrection guarantees to those who believe in Jesus. That's the truth of our celebration today. Even though we're apart from one another, we still celebrate the fact that the resurrection gives us power. We've been given a new life, abundant life, eternal life, a life of resurrection power, which is the power of the resurrection who lives in us. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk about resurrected living. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this day. I thank you that you're alive, Jesus. You rose from the dead, and you've brought your life to us. You share that resurrected life with us. And I pray, God, even though we're apart from one another, I pray that wherever the people of God are, Lord, that your presence will invade their room, that your glory will invade their space, that they would make this a time of worship, that they would make this their location a sanctuary where the presence of the living God abides and manifests itself. So, Father, bless this time. Bless your word to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's go to Galatians, well-known verse, Galatians 2:20. The Apostle Paul writes, I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. You know, every believer lives in this paradox. Crucified, yet alive. Dead, but living. There's a phrase that is actually used of convicts on death row. There's a phrase that says, they're dead men walking. That's a sobering thought. They're dead men walking. But that's how Paul sees himself. That's how Paul is describing himself. He's saying, I've died to an old life. I've died to a way of thinking. I've died to a way of acting. I've died to a way of conducting my life. I've died to sin. I've died to who I was in sin. But yet I'm alive. But there's a different kind of living. This is a resurrected kind of living. This is the living by faith in the Son of God. That's what he said. Now I live by faith in the Son of God. That's a different kind of living. That's living the life of Christ in this life. It's a resurrected life, and it's a life filled with the power of the resurrection. But what does that really mean? That just sort of sounds like a play on words. Well, let's start here. Let's start by thinking about what you think about when you think about the resurrection. What do we think about when you think about the resurrection? You know, growing up, I remember Easter, it was a big deal. It was a huge deal. It started weeks before with shopping. Everybody had to have a new Easter outfit. And it was a big thing, and it wasn't just little casual things. You decked out. I had three sisters growing up, so you can imagine all the conversation and all the things that went along with getting just the perfect outfit and buying things and exchanging things and all that process. And then there was meal planning, because you would always have somebody over on Easter Sunday. You'd always invite guests, and so there was that whole process of what are we going to eat. And then on Easter Sunday, when you came home, you stayed in your dress clothes. You didn't change, which was really weird, because normally that's the first thing we were supposed to do when we got home from church, get out of our church clothes. But on Easter Sunday, we stayed dressed up. And then during the week, there was extra rehearsals for the choir. There was the decorating of the church. My parents were tremendously involved in the leadership of the church. And so there was all of that to be considered. And then on Easter, get up really early because there was sunrise service. And then there was breakfast at the church. And then a little bit of delay. And then we'd have our Sunday morning Easter service and celebration. Easter was a big deal. It was a special event, and continues to be, and should be. We should celebrate this day. We should honor this day. It's not just another day. But listen, never reduce the resurrection to a holiday or to just an event. Never think of the resurrection of Jesus Christ or Resurrection Sunday even as just a date on the calendar. It's much, much more than that. Let's think of this. Remember the time when Lazarus had died, and Jesus comes 4 days late according to the sisters, his sister's appraisal. And Jesus is having a conversation with Martha. And Martha says, Lord, if only you had been here. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. And Martha responds, I know in the resurrection, the Jews believed in a resurrection. So she said, I know in the resurrection on the last day, I know that he'll be resurrected. And Jesus' response, we can never forget. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, yet shall he live. Do you see it? The resurrection isn't a holiday. It's not just an event. The resurrection is a person. And this person shares his resurrected life with anyone and everyone who will believe in him. Colossians 2 describes our life in Christ. It says, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. That's a beautiful picture of the testimony we see in water baptism. When Jesus died, we died. And we were buried with him along with our sins. And when he rose, we rose with him, only to new life, his life, resurrected life. Old things pass away. All things become new. That's why water baptism is such an exciting time, a wonderful time. It's a public testimony of our identifying our lives with his life, his death and burial, and his resurrection to newness of life. Ephesians talks about we take off the old man that was corrupt and lustful, lost in sin, and we're clothed now with the new man that is recreated in the likeness of God, in righteousness and holiness. This life looks like Jesus. Listen, Easter Sunday is a calendar event. Resurrection is a power that's at work in the life of every son and daughter of God. It's a living force inside of us. You need to tell yourself you're more powerful than you think you are. Let me give you three things about this resurrected life that I hope can help you today. Number one, resurrected living is a call. It's a call. We ought to all be thankful that God never waits for us to call on him. God always calls first. Adam, where are you? He calls Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldeans. Abraham was an idol maker. He calls Gideon, who is hiding from his enemies, and he was in a wine press trying to make wheat. He called David from the field where he was just watching his father's sheep. He called his disciples with two words. He just said, follow me. Peter says that we've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. See, we're born blind, spiritually blind. We're blind to God. We're blind to his love. We're blind to the work that he's accomplished through Christ. We're blind to our need for forgiveness. We don't even know to call on him. You know, I tell stories about my grandkids. When Cohen was a little younger, he would love to play. We'd run around the house playing hide and seek. And when he was younger, he just couldn't find me, in all honesty. For two reasons. One, just his age. The other, because it's still true now that he's a little older, is that he looks for things like a guy does. Means he goes to the entrance of a room where something's supposed to be, stands at the doorway, looks around and says, it's not here. Now, if that's stereotyping, guys, please forgive me, but that's how I look for things. In fact, I hate to tell my wife that I can't find something because she will invariably leave the spot, stop what she's doing, go, and in a minute or two later, come back, and here it is. So if I can't find something, I just learn to live without it or I buy another one. I don't want to go through the humiliation anymore. But eventually, though, I'd make a noise so Cohen could find me. I do something so that he'd be able to find me. Jesus says this about us. He says, no man can come unto the Father unless, or can come unto me unless the Father draws him. No one can come unto me unless the Father draws him. We don't even know enough to call on him. So he has to, and he has called us. God always takes the initiative. And then once you come to him, he continues to call. Maybe you gave your heart to the Lord months ago or years ago. Maybe it was decades ago. God continues to call us. He calls us to a deeper and deeper walk with him. He calls us to learn and to grow and to experience, to encounter, to be discipled by him, to serve him. He keeps calling us. And it says of Jesus that he's the good shepherd. And Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. He keeps calling us. And we get to know his voice. The resurrected life gives us the power to hear the call of God. If you don't know him today, he's calling you. He's calling you right now. He's urging you to come to him because Jesus died for all men. He died for the sin of all men for all time. He's calling you to come to him. He's calling you to receive his forgiveness. He's calling you to experience his love. He's calling you to surrender your life to him and let him bring order and peace and joy. Listen, if you're sitting there today and you need a new beginning, you need to start over, you need a do-over in life, God is calling you. That little prompting and urging inside of you may very well be the Lord's presence in the room where you are, and he's calling you to reach out and receive his forgiveness. If you're a Christian today, he's still calling you right now. Maybe he's calling you to trust him in some area of your life where you're really struggling. Now that may mean relinquishing control so that he can guide you and help you. Maybe he's calling you to some area of forgiveness. Maybe he's calling you to make some significant change in your life. To calling you to some area of service. What's he calling you today? But God is always calling. Our job is to have ears to hear and to respond as he calls. We'll also know that the resurrected living is a knowing. It's a type of knowing. Philippians 3:10 says, Paul's writing, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Later, Paul writes that there's nothing more worth knowing in life than knowing Jesus. There's nothing greater that a human being can know in life than knowing Jesus, to know him, to understand him, to perceive him, to be aware of him, to be sure and convinced of who he is, to develop that deep, intense relationship, to know him. And in knowing him, then we know the power of his resurrection. So how do you get to know Jesus? Well, let me ask this. How do you get to know anybody? How do you get to know your spouse? How do you get to know some of your close friends? How do you get to know them? So first, realize we're talking about relationship. We're not talking about just an intellectual comprehension of facts and details. We're talking about relationship. And relationship takes certain components, three of which are time, study, and experience. Think of when you were dating, or maybe you are dating. Think of your marriage relationship. Time, study, experience. Time, you have to give time and take your time with things that are important, with relationships that are important. Study, you got to pay attention. You got to learn about the other person. You've got to ask questions so you can learn and experience. You do life together. You get to know someone by walking with them, by sharing activities, by interchange of thoughts and feelings and interests, that the experiencing one another. Knowing Jesus is the same thing. It's going to take time. It's going to take study. It's going to take experience with him. There was a time in your spiritual growth where 10 minutes of devotions every day and going to church on Sunday morning was a big step. That was a big step for you in your spiritual growth, in developing, beginning to develop that relationship with Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you something, if that was 5 years ago and you're still doing 10 minutes a day and going to church on most Sundays, I would question that. I would question the growth of your relationship, and I would challenge you to give thought and prayer and time to increasing your focus and your attention on truly developing and deepening that relationship. One of the things that we can make as a benefit out of this time of quarantine is to increase our time and our study and our experience in our walk with Jesus. Paul wanted to know him, and what he wanted to know was the power of his resurrection. Jesus, how did you resurrect? How did he rise above death? How did he stand up in the tomb? How did he face death and just stand up and walk out? Now, in all honesty, whether you realize it or not, you've asked that question. You've asked that question. When you've had asked questions like, how do I stop lying? How do I break the addiction in my life? How do I stop being devoured by pornography? How do I stop being angry? How do I stay faithful in my marriage? How do I date but stay pure? How do I forgive that person? And a host of other questions. Every time you're asked, you're asking the same type of question Paul was asking. How do we not let dead things of this world hold us down? Where do we find the power to stand up and walk out of areas of darkness? How do we find the strength and the ability to walk out this resurrected life that Christ has given to us? Well, I'm glad you asked. It brings me to my third point for this morning. Resurrected living is a habitation. It's a habitation. Romans 8:11 says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. There's only one way to live and walk out the power of the resurrection in our lives, and it's by that same spirit that empowered Jesus to rise up from the dead. It's the same spirit who hovered over the waters of creation. It's the same spirit that breathed into Adam the breath of life. It's the same spirit that overshadowed the Virgin Mary at the incarnation. It's the same spirit who rested on Jesus when he was baptized. It's the same spirit that Jesus possessed, the Bible says, without measure. It's the same spirit that the Father and the Son promised they would send when Jesus left the earth. It's the same spirit that blew into that room of 120 worshipers, and it sounded like the sound of a rushing mighty wind. It's the same spirit that baptized with tongues of fire that could be seen upon each one's head. It's that same spirit, the same spirit that lives in you now, because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, he's the spirit of the sovereign Lord. He's the spirit of the living God, the spirit of your Father. He's the spirit of the Son of God. The Bible goes on and on. He's also the spirit of life, the spirit of grace. He's the spirit of adoption, the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of truth, wisdom, and revelation, the spirit of holiness. He's a spirit of justice, the spirit of fire, the spirit of glory. This is the life that's in you now, the Holy Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. He's made your soul alive to God. He's set you free from the penalty of sin. He's grafted you into the family of God. Jesus, God calls you his child. He's activated eternal life inside of you, and that eternal life has already begun in you now, and he's delivered you from the hold that the grave once had on you. The resurrected King has decreed over your life that even if you die, yet you will live. That's resurrected life, and that's the source of the power of resurrected living. A life of resurrection power is the residency of the power of the resurrection who is in us. The Holy Spirit of God, the life of God dwelling inside of us, the power of the resurrection. So stay strong today. You're more powerful than you think you are. You're more powerful than you believe yourself to be, because the power of the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. I bless you today on this Resurrection Sunday, and I pray the power of the resurrection, I pray the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ enlivens your heart, brings strength to your body and to your mind. I pray that the power of the resurrection overshadows you and the life of Christ be birthed in you in a new way, in a fresh way. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the meaning of this day. I thank you for the celebration of this day, because on this day, we're reminded that Jesus Christ, who came to earth out of his love for us, suffered a terrible death, but that death ended in victory. Victory for every one of us. Victory for every person who calls on the name of the Lord. And I thank you for that. And today I pray, Lord, this be a day of resurrection life for your people. I pray this be a day of new beginning in certain areas. I pray this day that even where they are, a fresh wind of your power and your spirit would fill their heart and fill their life. I pray that you, Lord, would receive all glory and praise today. I wish we could have been together offering up our praise, but even where we are now, even separated from one another, Lord, you're still worthy of praise, and we give you glory. We give you honor. You are the risen King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you deserve all praise. I pray, God, that the power of the residency of the Holy Spirit who lives inside my brothers and sisters would strengthen them now for today and all the days ahead in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in today.